Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis, and we are constantly streaming stories about entrepreneurship, business, innovation. It's very important in this economy to understand how things are going, how people are dealing with this economy. Our next guests, not first-timers with Radio Entrepreneurs, I'm glad to invite back Alex Bettig, VP of Information Technology and co-founder of OptiRTC, and David Rubenstein, CEO of OptiRTC. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jeff. Nice to have us.
Thanks. Well, you know, I'm going to set you up, Alex. I was told yesterday that what's going on at Opti and with watershed management and flood management is almost like John Kennedy saying, we're going to get to the moon. And you basically have figured out how to sort of take this to a whole new level of management. So we're looking forward to hearing about this big step forward for all of us.
Well, that's quite a parallel, but I think I see what you're going for there, Jeff. Kennedy said, we're going to the moon, and therefore there are many different steps that need to be taken that many different aspects of society will benefit from along the way. I think Opti's figured out a way to create a journey from the historic, passive, and statically designed management of stormwater that we live in to a more dynamically managed and collaborative future using technology, which has benefits for all, both stakeholders in the community and those living downstream of them.
Can you make that a little practical for me? Again, I'll only say the person I was interviewing yesterday, his name started with a V. So he was the one who I'm quoting. And, from passive to dynamic, is this sort of like going from the old fashioned cars to Elon Musk and the electric cars? What does this actually mean to all of us?
Well, I don't know exactly where Elon Musk is going, but I think what we're doing is fairly straightforward for many communities. And it's almost like a natural step of what you would do if you had the technologies of today available to solve stormwater problems back when you started building cities and needing to solve stormwater problems. So, most urban areas or suburban areas have plenty of places that when the water rains, it runs off to and collects. And the question is, are those places big enough for the amount of rain that's happening and for the size of the urban areas and basins that are draining into them? And since over time, cities have changed and we've developed more, sometimes those original assumptions about how those assets were built may not apply so well anymore. Plus, you've got this other dimension of the problem, which is that it's raining differently now than it did 50 or 100 years ago. And so you've got plenty of cities that have more days with an inch or more rain per year than you did back in the day. And so therefore, you've got more opportunities for downtowns to be backed up and economies to kind of grind to a halt while everyone has to wait for the floodwaters to drain, and potential for homeowners to lose value in their homes as basements get backed up, and other community effects through water quality pollution and that comes from not managing runoff properly. So there's lots of reasons to do more with the current assets, and what we're enabling communities to do is take those existing assets and say, the solution to making them work better isn't necessarily to have to build a lot more of them, although sometimes in certain places that's helpful as well. We can do better with them simply by making them dynamic and making them control when water stays, when it leaves, and how fast it does when it leaves. And by doing that, we can start to solve and chip away at combined sewer overflow, flooding issues, erosion control problems, and really kind of get a lot more juice out of the fruit that we've already got there, which is these existing stormwater assets and the ones that are going to be built into the future. And, when you look at the problem from a bigger picture, it's hard to see how you're going to solve it without getting more utility out of these existing assets. And that's really what Opti's focused on, is connecting to the assets communities have, whether they're the information assets that can describe where the water is in the watershed and where it's going to be, or these actual storage assets themselves, which we can get online and help communities take from this passively designed system that they already have to a smart system that can be then controlled dynamically, like I'm describing. So
I'm not trying to leave David out of the conversation, but you're really piquing me as a neophyte. I walk along shoreline in different states, and you can see that things are not necessarily updated. It sounded like you were saying this is not as difficult as people may think. And I think the majority of Americans surveyed would like to see some of these things happen. So That's what I thought I was hearing you say. Is that correct? And where, who is making these decisions to do these things?
Yes, sorry. I would say that it is not as difficult as it sounds to make a stormwater asset automatically controlled. I think that's what we've developed over the last 10 years at Opti, and we've brought it to the market in 130 different communities around the country, and successfully shown that storm after storm, we're able to make that asset achieve its objectives better and usually much better than a passively designed equivalent. And I think that kernel of ability makes it so that you don't have to think about, oh, I'm going to redevelop my entire city's stormwater management plan in order to benefit from this technology, which could be a pretty big lift. It lets you say, where are the problems? What's upstream of them that I can affect? And how can we put some Opti on here that lets me make little parts of my city work better? And then aggregately over time and aggregate, you get to something much more powerful. So,
David, did I ask the second part of my question? Alex answered one part. Who are these decision makers that we want to make sure are making these decisions for us and upgrading?
Well, in the public sector, it's sewer authorities, watershed authorities, public water utilities. It's different depending upon where you are in the country. But at the center of it all are politicians, elected officials. And what our results show and what politicians get excited about is we have great environmental outcomes. It's very effective. You know, as we talk about a passive stormwater asset, by putting technology on it where we can control a valve through our cloud software, we essentially add 60% more capacity because we're able to drain a storage facility before it rains. Now, it also means that we can stretch the taxpayer dollar a lot more, so that they can do a lot more work for less money. We have instances where one authority was going to spend $8 million on pumps for a five-lake system in Florida to help prevent flooding during hurricanes. Instead, they spent $200,000 with Opti, and they have not flooded since 2016, which was when they were implemented. Yet they've had 3 to 4 hurricanes come through. So for politicians, they can really make their communities safer and more effective in how they're spending their money.
Well, okay, I'm a business person. I just heard a few million dollars down to a couple of $100,000.
Right.
Why aren't these people rushing to make this decision all over the country?
Well, again, tough question, hard one to answer. Well, there's a lot of tried and true methods in civil engineering and working with hydrology that's been going on for hundreds of years, if not thousands. So this is a dramatic shift. It's essentially going from understanding how to read an analog clock to reading a digital clock. And that's what we are. We're digital. We think digital. We drive our solutions through digital. But we're in an industry that's just going through that change now. And there is a real thirst out there for it. I truly believe that we are close to a digital tipping point within our sector.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The last interview I had, we talked about organic farming, converting land to organic through technology. Now I'm talking about flooding and the protecting of American cities, North American cities. I'll be more general. It seems like the next few years, this whole new trend towards environmental protection, city protection, is really where we're going in America. Would you agree with that?
Yes, we have to. It is the solution in so many different aspects. I believe that we have the technology and we have the brains as a human race to address these climate challenges. It comes down to the will of the people.
Great.
And there's lots of interest in it within the cities we talk to as well. I mean, we're really excited about one of our recent features, which allows for the upstream areas to listen to the downstream in terms of whether they're going to release water, which means that wastewater treatment plant operators can now tell the stormwater managers, okay, hold on for a minute. We can work together on how we manage this storm a little bit more effectively, and our tools can be set up to do that as well. And I think that's, you know, it's something we've heard from our customers, which to me speaks to what you're saying. Communities are looking for ways to work together better to manage the environment, right? Kind of nudge nature in a better direction for everybody.
I just want to remind everybody, we've been speaking with Alex Bittig, VP of Information Technology and co-founder of Opti RTC, and David Rubenstein, CEO of Opti RTC. David, if someone's looking for Opti, or is a groupie who wants to speak with Alex about all these different things, how would they find you, all of you, or someone at Opti?
You can find us at our website, optirtc.com. You can find either of us on LinkedIn, as well as you can email me directly at drubenstein@optirtc.com.
And Alex, do you want to throw your name out there also, how to connect with you?
I think David covered it. LinkedIn is the best way to find me, as well as through our website. I don't have a huge social media presence, so that's the best I've got these days. But thank you.
And Radio Entrepreneur is always concerned with entrepreneurship, but also new technologies and new ways to look at the world and environment. We're going to be inviting you back, we hope, frequently for 2021 and beyond. I want to thank you for being on the show. Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs.